The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Boy, am I excited! Welcome to the October 2006 edition of Walking with the Giant. Hey, have you ever heard of the gospel singer named Michael Combs? Well, today we have one of his relatives, Junior Combs, and his group Southern Joy. And Junior and Southern Joy just won the National Quartet Convention's talent competition. Give a little listen to this.
Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were
Oh man, aren't they outstanding? Well, guess what? We're going to have some of their music along with an interview with them coming up in just a few moments. Also, later in the program, a very special ministry announcement. I mentioned it to you last month on our program. Well, now you'll get to hear it coming up in our Into the Word section. But first, let's go to Ghana, West Africa with Evangelist Ralph.
Time now for the Ghana Update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Agee Kingbe shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
Evangelist Ralph, how are you today?
Evangelist James Cross, I am doing fine and cool.
And cool. Ralph is still cool, even from last month's program. Ralph is still cool in Teshi, Ghana.
Yes, sir.
Ralph, how is the wife and the baby?
Papa, the wife, the pretty one, as you call her, she's doing fine.
The pretty one
the baby is Papa, is she? Yes, and the baby Ralph, is also becoming pretty like the mother, but not ugly like the father, Papa.
Well, it's good that Ralph is becoming pretty like the mother and not ugly like the father. Now, let me ask you this: is baby Ralph taller than I am right now?
No, sir, Papa. Now he will be 4 months old. 4 months old next month, October.
Well, probably by the time he is 2 or 3 years old, he'll be taller than I am.
That's right, definitely.
Because Ralph is very tall. You're going to be one of the speakers at an upcoming revival in the month of October. What church will that be at?
It is the mother church where our fellowship at. It is called Palo Muenu Memorial Presbyterian Church. And the program is coming on next month, October.
And this will be it will be a week-long program, am I correct?
Correct, Papa. It's a week-long program. It starts on the Sunday night and ends on the Sunday morning.
And my understanding is you will be preaching the first and last service, so you will open and close the revival meeting.
Definitely, Papa. So it means that I am going to be the Alpha and the Omega of the whole program.
There you go, the Alpha and Omega of the program. That is outstanding. Ralph, is there a theme to this particular program?
Yes, sir. The program itself, it is being dubbed or called the Celebration of Joy. The Celebration of Joy. But the theme for the program is the voice of him crying in the wilderness. And the theme is being taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1-6, Papa.
Okay, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. It sounds like it will be an exciting service.
Definitely, Papa, definitely.
Now, you will be the youngest speaker that week, am I correct?
That's very correct. I'm the youngest among all the other four speakers that are coming, Papa.
And I have to tell our listeners, I have heard Ralph preach when we were in Ghana, and Ralph is a fire and brimstone type preacher, as we would say. He is just all over the altar and up and down the aisles, and you are on fire when you preach for Jesus.
Yes, Papa, it's all by the grace of God. And Papa, let me say this, the whole of this week, I have been fasting the whole of this week, trusting God that the sick be healed, that the demonic possessed will be set free, and we are trusting God that the lost will be found, Papa. The lost will be found. That's the major ultimate of my prayer, that God will let the lost be found in the auditorium of the service, Papa.
Ralph, this, of course, is going to be at your home church, the Presbyterian Church. I've spoken there a couple of times when we were in Teshi. This is a very large church. What do you expect the attendance to be during these services?
Papa, previously, as the program goes on, the number increase. So at the last year, the first session of the program, we had about 500 people seated for the first program. When the program goes on, like the third day, it increased to 7 to 8 to 9, and then to thousands of people coming. So, Papa, because of how what happened last year, I know this year, even the first session, we seated about 700 people, Papa.
It should be an exciting time. And are
sure,
you ready?
Sure. Hey, boy, I am ever ready for the Lord's work.
There you go. Always ready for the Lord's work. Ralph, why don't you close our interview today with a word of prayer?
Yes, Papa. Shall we have a word of prayer? Everlasting Father, you've been the beginning and the end. Father, you know all things, and you are the maker of all things. This evening, as we talk in the airwaves concerning the ministry, we thank you so much. And Papa, we lay ourselves into your hands, and even our listeners, that you bless them and keep them, that you cause your face to shine on them, that Jehovah God, you order their steps in whatever they do. In the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I lift thy brother James into your hands as he enters into full time of ministry. Everlasting Father, I pray that you grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of you, Jehovah God. I pray that the eyes of his understanding be enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, Father, in the saints. Everlasting Father, we thank you and we will bless you. I pray that you strengthen him. I pray that you give unto him all the resources that he needs for the good of the ministry and of your ministry, Jehovah God. Everlasting Father, we are praying for our listeners. Anybody that's hear the sound of our voice concerning this program, I pray that you bless that family. You bless that person. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, everlasting Father, them that hear us that are going through any form of challenges and affliction, everlasting Father, you came to set the captives free. I pray that you set them free in the very name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. We glorify your name until we meet next month in November production. I pray that let us receive testimonies of people who hear us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say?
It's time now for Talking with a Giant. Here's James.
September of 2006 saw the starting of the annual National Quartet Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the events that takes place during that convention is their annual talent competition. And they have categories for individuals and then for groups also. The group winners this year is a group that is relatively new in gospel music, although the leader, if you will, of the group has been around for many, many years. And the group I'm referencing is Junior Combs and Southern Joy.
And today on Walking with the Giant, we're being joined by Junior Combs. And Junior, tell us who you've got here with you that makes up your group.
Hello, James. It's good to see you. Good to be on your program today. I have my daughter, Jessica. She is 18 years old, singing the soprano part. We have Wesley, my son, who is 11 years old, and he sings the alto lead. We switch around a lot. So I have my children with me, my daughter and my son.
How do you like singing with family?
Well, basically, all the years that I've been singing, I've had a special drawn to family groups and family harmonies. I started out with my sister's group a long time ago, and I've always had that special connection with family. So having the experience for the last few years of traveling with quartets, there was just something deep inside when I could see my children growing up that they had that God-given talent of singing and the gift. So I knew that the Lord had the plan. I just had to wait for Wesley to get big enough and old enough to help me travel.
I got you.
But Jessica sang ever since she was just a young child. So
now tell me about your starting out. You say you began with your sisters, and that group was, what was the name of that group?
It was called the Cedar Creek Quartet.
Okay.
Back in the middle, early 70s.
Okay.
I was just a young lad, probably about Wesley's age, about 11 or 12 years old. My oldest sister, Barbara, and my sister, Linda, and then my niece, Sherry, we sang as the Cedar Creek Quartet out of Sanderson, Florida. For a few years, we traveled, and I played the piano for the group and actually sang bass.
My goodness.
Since all three females, you'd have to sing a low part. So we started that. Actually, the group had been in existence for a few years before that. But I had the honor and privilege of being able to sing with my family, and that was really a great treat for me.
From there, where did you go?
Well, from Cedar Creek, I moved on in 1979. I graduated from high school, and I met two young men, Jimmy Hartley and Ronald Sweat. We formed the group Golden Sounds from Baldwin. Ronald was from Baldwin, and he was the manager of the group. We started singing together in 79, and then in 1985... is when myself and Jimmy Hartley formed the group called Rushing Wind. And I sang with Rushing Wind as the tenor vocalist for around 18 years. And then I left that group. The Lord called me on to perform with, I had opportunity to perform with the Canaanland Boys out of Jacksonville, Florida, a couple of years. And then I sang with a group called the Coastalmen down from Edgewater, New Smyrna Beach area in Florida for a couple of years, helped get that group off the ground and going. And then I guess I wound up with my New Gathering Quartet in 2004, we started New Gathering Quartet, and that is the one I managed with. It was a couple of guys from Georgia. And one guy from Live Oak, we started that group. And I sang with him for probably about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then Jessica, my oldest daughter, came into the picture when we started New Gathering. She would fill in as a vocalist for when either I was sick or one of the guys in the group could not make the appearance. So she stepped right up to the plate. And that's how I first started getting my family involved. It was Jessica actually was the foundation for that. So
How long is the Southern Joy group actually, officially, if you will, been together then?
We started around the middle part of June
of this year.
So about
right.
5 months.
Okay. Now for our listeners, we need to chat about this one for a moment then. How do you start a group in June and in September when the National Quartet Convention?
It was a big thing for me to start with because the National Quartet Convention, I think, is every gospel singer's dream of being able to perform on the main stage or to be recognized there as a winner or being a big part of a competition. But, yeah.
Well, speaking of how big it is, what do you get? What is the... Is it just the fact that, okay, we can say we won, or what comes along with winning first place at that convention?
Well, the top group wins a recording package with Sun Sound Recording Studios, mm-hmm. and then we also won to record that recording package. Plus, we're going to receive we're going to be able to release a single to all the radio stations.
Great.
And then we're going to have a half-page article in the Singing News Magazine, which is a national magazine for the Quartet Convention and for the Southern Gospel Movement.
Let me turn to Jessica and Wesley here for a few moments. Jessica, you've been singing obviously longer than Wesley, and started with New Gathering. Is singing something you've always wanted to do, or did, as you got into your teens, did it just kind of come on you that, hey, I can do this?
No, it's something that I've wanted to do since I was a child, and I saw Daddy on stage playing the piano and singing his heart out. I was like, wow, I want to be just like my dad, and so...
Oh, my goodness. Junior, your head's got to be swelling.
That's scary.
Right? Okay, outstanding. Now, are you still in school?
I just recently graduated from Baker County High School, and now I'm attending Lake City Community College.
Wesley, let me jump over to you. How old are you?
I'm 11.
11. And have you always wanted to sing?
Well, kind of, but like this year it just started hit me that I could really sing, and I just wanted to try it.
And what do you think so far?
I think it's been the best because I get to travel around the United States and worship the Lord.
Well, there you go. There you go. Travel and worship at the same time. That's a good deal. Do you see that this is something that, hey, I think I'd like to do this years from now and make music a career?
Yes, sir.
Jessica, what about you? What kind of a career? You say you're in community college at this point. What type of a career are you looking forward to?
I plan on getting my bachelor's and master's in music education to become a chorus teacher, and I also want a minor in history, which also my mother is. She's also a history teacher.
Junior, she's wanting to bachelor's and master's. You're saving already, right?
Yes. thank God for blessing us that she was awarded the Bright Futures
scholarships. Outstanding.
Yes. So that's going to help.
Okay, we've been talking about some of your music. The folks might be saying, well, we want to hear some of the music. Mm-hmm. So why don't we do the song that I guess you could say won you the competition at the National Quartet Convention. And the name of that song, Junior, is what?
Soul Filling Station.
And this is one of your favorites?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, here it is. Junior Combs and Southern Joy and Soul Filling Station.
You can always find the steeple of few religious people and a preacher on the front step shaking everybody's hand. A sign shaped like a Bible, saying summer revival. But there's a million dead churches just filling up an acre of land.
What we need is a soul filling station. A full service open 24 hours a day. Faster way.
Junior,
yes.
An 11-year-old and an 18-year-old traveling, how are they received?
Unbelievably very receptive to the young generation. I know that the older generation, they immediately fall in love with Wesley.
Mm.
They want to hug and kiss on him and things like that.
Do they want to pinch your cheeks and stuff like that?
Tons.
He definitely attracts all different kinds of ages.
Right.
Immediately, he's a magnet on stage. His presence and his spirit just flows on the stage. Jessica, voice of an angel, she immediately is well received, especially by the young men. That's her age.
Yeah, there'll be a picture on our blog, and you'll see why.
She is single. She is single, guys, but her daddy is watching.
Exactly.
But her angel, I mean, she's already been penned, has a voice of an angel.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful voice and very well received. And I think the family harmony plays a big part.
There's always something different about family harmony, isn't there?
Absolutely. And what I think what really impresses the audiences with our ministry is they're being so young and also so sincere and dedicated to the cause and to the ministry of spreading Jesus' word. But like with Wesley, for example, he loves to go down to the altar and pray with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that attracts some of the younger people that sometimes you may not reach through different other ministries. Being young definitely, I think, has its advantages for us.
Let me ask you this, since you've been singing for so many years and you've sung, whichever the right way would be to say it, with family many years ago, but then since that time you've been with others.
Right.
I've been around, you know, practice sessions, and somebody messes up, and everybody gets on them, or either, you know, they have their own little ways of aggravating or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And how is it different, though? I mean, when you practice, you're practicing with your children, and you can't do them like you might do somebody who is another adult. And nothing against Wesley and Jessica, but they're mentally not where someone who's been singing for 20 years might be, you know, in that type of maturity of knowing that, okay, I can handle the criticism or I need to do this better. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think a lot of it's a lot of prayer between their mom and myself. We have to pray a lot about making sure that we differentiate and separate the differences in a family situation, and then I call it a business situation with dealing with it on a different perspective. But actually, Jessica and Wesley's maturity when it comes to vocal ability, hearing harmonies with their voices, they capture right on. And I very, very seldom ever have to, I call it coach and counsel them, because they're just right on the speed. But every once in a while, they'll disagree. Jessica will tell him he's wrong, and Wesley will say, "No, I'm right." And they'll argue for a while, and then just the daddy part just has to step in and say, "Okay, guys, look, let's resolve it this way." And then sometimes my experience overrules theirs.
Right, exactly.
I say, "No, we're going to do it this way," and it generally, you know, works out for the best.
You have another child.
Yes, I do.
That is between Wesley and Jessica in age.
Mm-hmm. Alicia.
And now, is she musical? Did the musical genes get to her? Or if they did, does she just not have an interest, or what?
My other daughter, Alicia, is 13. She has a beautiful alto voice. We've actually have been trying to encourage her. She's a little bit more timid about singing than Jessica and Wesley are.
Mm-hmm.
But we have tried to include her on a song. We're getting her prepared for her debut to come on stage with us.
Great.
Life, Love, and Other Mysteries. It's a Point of Grace song. We're going to have her come up and sing it. But she definitely doesn't really want to do it in a full-time capacity. That's not her calling.
Mm-hmm.
She is a fantastic cheerleader and tumbler. That is her forte. She's on the middle school, junior high cheerleading squad.
Mm-hmm.
So very proud of her also.
Now, do you, with you on the road, do you get to see much of what she does? Are you able to be there?
Actually, I do. She sometimes she'll come to me and say, "Daddy, I wish you'd come to hear me or hear me do this or see me do this and tumble." And I try to arrange my schedule to where I can part of that, so she doesn't feel like, you know, she's being singled out as
right.
not get as much attention as Jessica and Wesley do.
Junior, you started, I guess I remember years ago, was at Dinkins New Congregational mm-hmm. Methodist yeah. Church in Sanderson, Florida.
Yes.
Is that where you came to know the Lord there, or was it later?
Actually, Dinkins Church was where I learned, basically with me, the head knowledge
right.
of Jesus Christ, and kind of went through the motions, you know, getting baptized and, you know, like a bunch of kids did at that age.
Right.
You know, but I felt like that spiritually and just in my maturity, I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I did listen, and I did soak and comprehend of who Jesus was and that he did love me. And I was taught that in Sunday school and church. But it wasn't until I was an adult, in mm-hmm. my early 20s, that I lived on my own. And I was listening to an album of the old Happy Goodman family.
Mm-hmm.
And their songs just started ministering to me. And right there in the floor of the mobile home I was living in, I accepted him as my Savior right there. So it was actually as an adult is when I accepted him as my Savior into my heart.
Tell me, coming up in the month of October, where could people see or hear Southern Joy?
Well, if they go out, we have a website.
Okay.
If they go on our website, it's www.southernjoy.org.
.org.
They would go out to that section and look under itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to see where we're going to be.
And that website again is southernjoy.org.
Mm-hmm.
And your contact information, if someone would like to learn
yes.
more about you or mm-hmm. this ministry, all of that is on there. And you have you've won a recording contract because of the competition, but
yes.
you have a CD already. Yes. Already out at this point, right?
Right. A friend of mine, Andy Haynes in Gainesville, Florida, recorded this project for us. Very proud. We completed it in 14 hours.
Wow.
Which is not normal. But our time frame of getting all our getting the recording back in time enough for the quartet convention, we had to, you know, pack it in real fast.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very, very pleased with this recording that Andy did for us.
Expressions from the Heart
mm-hmm.
is what it's called. Junior, I want to thank you and mm-hmm. Jessica and Wesley for taking the time out of y'all's schedule to join us. And we're going to be in prayer for y'all and for what God's going to do with you in this ministry. And just pray y'all just keep on keeping on.
Absolutely. That is our plan.
That's right.
And we leave it everything in the Lord's hand, His direction, and the doors that He opens for us. We were going to walk in through it, and anybody out there that would love to have us at your event or church or any type of function, be more than happy to contact us.
Let's close out with a song you mentioned a little bit earlier, the song that that I believe you said Jessica sings
mm-hmm.
the lead yes. on. And Jessica, what's the name of this one that we're going to close things out with?
That's Why They Call It Grace.
And you like this song?
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you all again.
Thank you, James.
And let's close out with Southern Joy, and That's Why They Call It Grace.
Thank you,
James. Last night in a dream I took a journey. I was trembling as I stood among the crowd. Some said, "Crucify him." The others mocked and laughed. Not one soul came forward to speak on his behalf. I found myself drawn to the stranger, and I saw such compassion in his eyes. He said the debt you owed would soon be covered when the Lamb of God is crucified. That's why they call it grace. That's why they call it mercy. And the tears ran down my
Giant Update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
October is shaping up to be a very busy month for this ministry. October 1st through 4th, I will be leading revival services at Grace Christian Fellowship Baptist Church in Worthington Springs, Florida. On Sunday, October 8th, I will be preaching the homecoming service at Oak Grove Baptist Church, north of Lake City, Florida. I will begin revival services on Sunday, October 15th at Grace Baptist Church in Gainesville, Florida, which will end on Wednesday, October the 18th. On Sunday, October 22nd, I will be filling in for Pastor Ron Thompson at First Baptist Church of White Springs, Florida. I will travel to Lacoochee, Florida for revival services beginning on Sunday, October 29th, going through Thursday, November the 2nd. These services will be at First Baptist Church of Lacoochee. Please be in prayer for all of these services. And for updates on my ministry schedule, please visit my website at jamescroft.org and click on the schedule link. I mentioned last month that I would have some exciting news about this ministry. Well, you'll hear that announcement next on Walking with a Giant. So stay tuned.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's get into that eternal Word now.
If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight, would you say, boy, am I excited?
Boy, am I excited.
That's what I'm talking about. I am just excited that you could come out and join us this evening and be here for what to me is a very special time and a very special thing I want to share with family and my church family, God's family, because you are going to be a very, very important part of it. But right now, how many of you got Bibles with you this evening? Let's hold them up high, all right? And what do we got to do with them now? Shame on the devil, because he can't stand the Word of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is where I want to begin. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse number 1, if you are able, would you please stand with me as we honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Tonight I want to talk a little bit about forsaking all to follow him. Forsaking all to follow him. You see, we could go through several things in this scripture, and we could talk about, I believe, how Jesus is a Baptist, because when Jesus got through preaching, he wanted to go fishing. And that's just like a lot of Baptist preachers I know. And so here he was ready to go fishing, and the guy said, "We ain't caught nothing all night long." And they said, "But nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." And there's a lesson there for you and I about being a doer of the Word and not hearers only. And because they've done the Word, when God said, in fact, when the Word gave the Word, all right? Yeah. When the Word gave the Word and they let down their net, man, it was such a miraculous catch that the nets began to break. And when they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, that it said they filled both the boats and they began to sink. I mean, my stars alive. I'm going to tell you something. When God starts blessing, there will be an overflow. Amen. There will be an abundance of it. You hear what I'm saying? And so we could see that lesson from here. We could also see a lesson of cooperation among disciples, among followers of Jesus Christ. Because you see, the partners in the other boat could have very easily said, we done put our nets up. We done tied everything up. Everything's cleaned up. Look, y'all once took the little Baptist preacher out there. Y'all can deal with what he's catching out there because we ain't coming back out there. But they didn't do that. And they came and they cooperated with the others, and they all received a blessing from it. You see, when you and I cooperate with others in the ministry, when we cooperate in the work of the Lord, then God pulls out His blessing on all of us. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be enough to spill over, and even those who ain't helping will get blessed. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the way God works. You can never outgive Him. But the thing I want to focus on is forsaking all. It says, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all to follow Him. They come out of their comfort zone. They had to come out of their comfort zone. God was calling them away to something else. And you know what's interesting to me? We do not see here where they went back and said, well, let us have time to sell the boats. Let us have time to get with the family. Let us have time to clean up a few loose details. We don't see anything like that. It just said they forsook all and followed Him. You see, what you and I have to do is when God says come, we need to drop everything and come right then. I'm going to tell you something. I remember back in 1993 and probably a little bit before that, to give you a little historical context about James Crawford. Some of you may or may not know. I've probably shared this testimony here before, but the Lord started dealing with me about the ministry. It seemed like everybody that I come in contact with knew I was going to be a preacher except for me. I mean, everybody, you know, when I was a member at First Baptist Church of Olestee, and I would teach the adult men's Sunday school class, and they said I really didn't teach it, I preached it, really, is what I done. I didn't give a whole lot of chance for discussion, it seems like, but we would just have a good time, and there would be people that would come in and go, brother, are you a minister? No, I am not. You know, I ain't got nothing against preachers, don't get me wrong. You know, I've done almost every job in the church. I've never been a deacon, and I don't think I've ever dealt with the babies in the nursery, you know what I'm saying? But I've done a lot of other stuff. I've taught the little youngins. I've taught those that could look me in the eye and those that were taller than I am, you know what I'm saying? And I've done trustee stuff. I've done all that kind of, but preaching was not something that I felt like God wanted me to do. And so things began to happen. And I want to tell you something. When God begins to reveal a plan to you, He'll do it in such a way that you'll sit there and scratch your head sometimes. I mean, y'all, I started going through relationship problems. I started going through physical problems. I started having problems at work. I went in January of 1994. I went to 3 funerals in 1 month of people that I knew. And I'm sitting back there in the back and you know, or halfway back or wherever I was sitting. And in every one of those, the preacher got up and just preached right at me. And I'm thinking to myself, brother, ain't you supposed to like be consoling the family down front there or something? You know, get off me a little bit. And it was just like talking to me and talking about ministry and about stepping out and following God. And I still wouldn't listen. And Don Smith, who was the pastor of Evergreen Baptist Church in Lawley at that time, he said, why don't you just come to my church and speak one Wednesday night? And just see if God, you know, we have lay speakers come in the church, and just come and see what God does. No, I ain't going to do that. You know, I know God ain't called me to preach, so I don't have to come. You know, he ain't got to talk to me in that way because I don't know what His answer is. And so finally, I agreed to go speak. And y'all, I'm scared to death. And the night before, Brother Freeman calls me and he says, I just want to call and let you know I'm praying for you. And he said, by the way, I just got a phone call. We've had a death in the family down in South Florida. He said, we're going to have to leave right after the morning service tomorrow from Old Lusty. He was serving as interim at that time there. And he said, so I need you to do Sunday night back at Old Lusty. And I said, Brother Freeman, I said, now I just agreed to speak over at Evergreen. And he goes, but you can do it here. And I said, yeah, but I mean, this is the night before. I said, I don't know what I'm going to preach. He said, preach the same thing you're going to preach that morning. He said, they won't be hurting. And so I went back that Sunday night and I preached back at my home. No, I spoke at my home church. I don't even know if you called it preaching back then. But you know, and God started doing it. So 2 weeks later, the phone starts ringing. And I start getting asked to speak in all these churches. and I still ain't convinced God's calling me to preach. You know, I'm still doubting that this is the Lord working in it. Finally, on Sunday afternoon, December the 4th, 1994, I got a telephone call that afternoon from a friend who was talking about us taking on a new job together, a job that I would have normally have jumped at. And I remember telling him on the telephone that night, Lee, I would love to do this, but I can't because I know God's called me to preach. Amen. And that's the first time I said the word preach. And it's like a light bulb went on inside of me. That night at church, I was leading the music. Can you believe that? And I was leading the music at First Baptist of Old Lester. We had almost a house full. That church don't have a house full in the morning. I don't know where they all come from. It's like everybody showed up that night. And I'm going, what's up with this? And I knew what I had to do. And I'm thinking, now, Lord, are you trying to psych me out? You brought all these people in here to watch me do this. But I was scared. But I said, Lord, I said I was going to do it. I made it through the first verse, and I laid that songbook down, and I walked up, and the pastor said, I know why you're here. I said, yes, it's time. They didn't send it to a church conference or a business meeting. That night, they voted to license me on the spot. Now, some things are changing again. 2 years ago, October, in fact, so we're coming up on 2 years, I went to a revival that was being preached by Rick Corum. And God eat me alive that night. And he preached on stepping out on faith. And boy, it just eat me alive. When it come invitation time, I hit that altar. And I said, God, if you're wanting me to move into a full-time ministry, I'll do it, but you're going to have to make it clear to me. And since that time, I've came up with every excuse and every reason why I should not do that. Everything that I could think of to keep me from entering a full-time ministry. Had a good job. All of my benefits are paid. All of my retirement is paid. But in the last couple months, God has begun to allow some changes to take place at my workplace as well as in other areas of my life. And I finally had to sit back and say, God, I can't deny what you're doing anymore. There's a saying that says, you will remain the same until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change. And so when it starts hurting so bad to stay where you are, then you finally realize it's time to forsake all and follow him. Church, a week and a half ago, I gave my letter of resignation to New River Solid Waste Association. It will take effect on Saturday, October 14th. So on Sunday, I go under the full-time employment of God. Amen. And so I made the decision that it's time to forsake all and follow him. Amen. And so now I begin a new chapter in this ministry that the Lord has entrusted to me, a chapter of moving into the field of evangelism on a full-time basis, forsaking all to follow him, being totally dependent on God for everything. Let me ask you something. Have you been totally dependent on God? Have you forsook all to follow him? Let me ask you this. Do you know him? Have you ever forsook the world and the way of the world to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know you can do that today? It's just as simple as ABC. A, admitting that you're lost, acknowledging that there's not a thing in this world that you can do about it. B, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, believing that he truly is the living Son of God, that he came to this earth and died on that cross just for you and for me. C, confessing him with your mouth, just saying a simple sinner's prayer, asking him to come into your heart and save you from your sins. And then I throw in the letter D. Do it. Don't wait, because you never know when it could be too late. If you'd like to know more information about coming to Jesus Christ, go to my website at jamescroft.org and click on the link entitled, Do You Know? If you have any questions, please email me, and I'll try to get the answers to you. And that's all the time we have for Walking with the Giant this month. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to visiting with you again next month. God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.